Your Bibles, the book of Esther tonight. Esther chapter 2. You're introduced in the verses we're going to look at to Mordecai. But then, I don't want to spend too much time on Mordecai just because you see so much of him in the rest of the book of Esther. I want to focus on somebody else here. Not only Mordecai, but then you're introduced to Esther. And then, particularly, Esther's preparation for royal service. Esther chapter 2, starting in verse 5. We're going to read to verse 11, and the verses we're going to really focus on is verses 8 to 11. And I want to talk to you tonight about preparation for royal service. You know, Esther is a classic, would be a classic Hollywood theme, a beautiful orphan girl gets selected to be the princess of a massive empire, and it's just got all the motifs that you would look for in a movie, but it's real life. It's really happened. Esther chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So Mordecai is Esther's cousin. They're cousins. Verse 8. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her, out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. All right, let's pray and talk to you about preparation for royal service. Father, Lord, I thank you for your words, and I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I thank you for the testimony that Mike gave us of the tracks going down to Mexico and folks being able to use them and pass them out. And Lord, what a blessing to know your words are going out all over the place. And I beg you, please, Lord, to use those, get those tracks into the hands of people that'll believe them. And Father, that you could bear some fruit there, and Lord, that just be a blessing to hear testimonies of it, but it's a blessing to hear that folks were already just jumping up and down to receive the tracts and be able to use them. Father, for next week as we go out door to door, I pray you'd be with us, guide our steps, guide our hearts, guide our minds. And then tonight, Father, as we go through this sermon, I pray that you would help us understand some of the typology here and just some of the things that we can learn from here as your Holy Spirit works on a bride. And Lord, that we'd make application, you'd help us make application the way that we need to. Thank you again for everybody here, and I pray you'd bless each soul for being here, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you're introduced here to Esther. You're introduced to Mordecai, and really, I don't want to say too much, like I said, about Mordecai, because we're going to see so much of him in the rest of the book and so much of Esther, but their relationship is cousins. One of the things, and I'll just throw this out there as we get started, one of the things that confuses folks is the timing, because you see that it looks like Mordecai was carried away that he was the one that was carried away in the Babylonian captivity. But here you are, you know, almost at least 70 years past that, and it would make Mordecai 100 and something years old if he's the guy. And so the timing doesn't work out if all the scholars are correct in their timing, which you know they're probably not. So anyway, it just throws a kink in things for people with the timing there, but there's really nothing to worry about with it. Mordecai is, you see his stock, he's a Benjaminite. As Esther's cousin, and notice Esther, that's her Persian name, that's not a Jewish name. Her Jewish name is Hadassah. Esther's a Persian name. Esther is like, you know, we just had Easter last weekend. Easter, that's Esther. That's kind of the same thing. Ashtar, Easter, Esther. It's kind of the what that's defined as, but it's a Persian name. And she's an orphan, and she's a beautiful orphan. And Mordecai, when mom and dad are dead, Mordecai takes her under his wing and basically becomes a father to her. And kind of guides her through the world, so to speak. And you'll see that as we go on through here. You see it at the end of verses 10 and 11, where Mordecai is kind of keeping an eye on things and just kind of giving her counsel to navigate a hostile world. Notice at the end of like verses 10 and 11, it says she hadn't shown her people yet. And one of the reasons was because her people were under fire. And so he told her, just lay low, you know, don't tell everybody your genealogy yet. And he's given her counsel to, just like Jesus Christ does, he gives counsel to navigate a hostile world. But the one I want to focus on is a guy named Haggai. Because Haggai, in verses 8 through 9, or 8 through 10, Haggai is an interesting character. He's a type in this passage of the Holy Spirit of God. And he's a type of the Holy Spirit of God, as Haggai is the one that prepares the bride for the king. And so there's going to be several things that Haggai does in preparation for a Jewish bride for this king. And you guys know, you know, we get in on this thing. We're just Gentiles, but we get in on this thing. We become part of the body of Christ. But originally, he goes to the Jews first, so that you see the Jewish bride. But there are several things that are mentioned in verse 9 that Haggai does in preparation for service to the king. And we can learn something from it, and we will tonight. So let's look at verse 8. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, that the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her, out of the king's house, and he preferred her and her maids into the best place of the house of the women. Now, you could just outline that whole thing, and you know, you could probably really preach on all of these points here, but every single one of these things that Haggai does is something the Holy Spirit does for the bride of Christ. And so that's what we're going to see this evening, is some application. You understand the history of it before we jump into the typology. You understand what's going on. It's basically a big, it's a bachelor, one of those not dating things, but it's kind of like that. The king is being presented with all of these women to see who's going to be fit to be queen. And it doesn't just have to do with beauty, it has to do with several other things, as we'll see in chapter 2, but beauty is one thing, and then there's some other things that go with all this. But he's basically, not parading, but they're bringing in women that could possibly be the princess of the kingdom. And so Haggai's job is to prepare the women in order to serve in the palace. So look at verse 9, and let's start to take this apart and see all of the little things that Haggai does to prepare a bride for the king. Because all of these things are things that the Holy Spirit does to prepare the bride for the king. All right, the first thing I notice, it says, and the maiden pleased him. Okay? God has a personality. He has a personality. He isn't a robot. He's dynamic in his relationships. He responds to people, and there are things that he likes and things that he does not like. And so it's a matter of he's a person. You and I are created in, we're created in his image in Adam back then. We've marred that image, all that kind of thing. You understand all that. But the point is, you have a personality because God has a personality. That stuff came from him. He is a being like that, so he has a personality with likes and dislikes. And things please him and things don't please him. All right, just since we're Sunday night crowd, let me ask you guys. What is something that pleases God? Obedience. What?
Praise.
Give me one that's Christian. What you got? Singing. Faith. Faithfulness. Everything you guys said is good.
Worship.
Let's look at this one. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. I think you guys know the verse. But this directly says this is something that makes God happy. When he finds this, this is what makes him happy. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And he says it in a negative way here. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. All right, so whatever you do, it doesn't really matter until you have some faith in what he said. Until you trust what he said. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So one thing that definitely pleases God is faith. In fact, you can't even please God until you have faith. And so going back to Esther, Haggai looks over the crowd of women and he's kind of checking everything out and seeing, all right, he knows what the king wants and he knows what the king's looking for. And he finds in Esther and he says, all right, Esther is someone that pleases me. She is someone I found something that the king will like in her. And this is somebody I'm going to pay attention to. So the first thing is, and the Bible says, and the maiden pleased him. All right. So God's looking for somebody to please him, somebody that'll make him happy. And faith is the first thing. That is the basic thing that starts the whole thing. You gotta have faith. You gotta trust what God said. That's exactly what Hebrews 11, 6 says, because you've gotta believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you don't believe that, it doesn't really matter what else, you know, you believe or don't believe if you don't start with that foundation. So he's looking for somebody to please him, and in Esther he finds it. So that brings up a question to me, and I just want to be a little bit practical here in applying some of this history. What else does God want, and how does he get it? You know, in fact, I want to show you a verse, but before I get there, just set this thing up. The Bible says that God tries the hearts. We've talked about that before. And the reason God tries the hearts, not just the hearts, why he tries your heart, is because he's trying to get something out of it that would make him happy. And he's trying to get something out of you and me that would make him happy. Look at this verse. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll do a little turning tonight just to see some of the typology here. Because Haggai is a great type of the Holy Spirit of God. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and watch the wording. Watch how this is worded. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Watch what he says. But as we were What does he say there? Allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. So you know what God did? He allowed you and me to have something that didn't belong to us. He gave you and me the gospel, and he says, all right, I'm giving it to you because I want to see what you're going to do with it. Watch this. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So God says, here's something for you. I want you to have this. And the reason I want you to have this is because I want to see what you're going to do with it. And when I see what you're going to do with it, that tells me everything I need to know about you. As we were allowed of God. Remember now, that's what Paul says, not as pleasing men, but God. Because he understands the Lord's trying the heart. Think of the things that please God. First of all, faith. Think of the things that God allows to or sins or puts in our path to try us. There's a verse in, and I know we've read it before. The point of the trying the hearts is God is just watching to see. Just like Haggai is over there, he's watching these women who have come to the palace, and he's watching all of them, and he's observing closely, and he knows what the king wants, and he knows exactly what the king wants, and so he's watching these potential princesses come around visiting everything they're doing, and he's looking for one that would make the king happy. Just like the Holy Spirit's looking for somebody that'll make the king happy. Preparing the bride. All right, so he tries the hearts. Let me show you a couple verses that are very interesting in the Bible, at least to me. I think some of you have seen these verses before. Look over in Exodus chapter 16, that deals with God trying people's hearts, where he does something for the purpose of seeing which direction a person will go with the thing that he puts in front of him. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Now read this carefully. Read this carefully. You remember the Israelites, they are redeemed out of Egypt. They go through the Red Sea. It opens up. They go into the wilderness. And here they are just coming out of the Red Sea, getting started in the wilderness. And watch what God says to them. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. All right, what is that bread from heaven? What was that? It's manna. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may do what? Prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. You know, he could have said, I'm going to go and rain manna on them so I can feed them. So I can give them some food because they're going to get hungry. But you know what he said? Manna's not the big deal. I can feed them with whatever I want to feed them with. They're not going to go hungry. My issue is, where's their heart going to go when I present something in front of them? Which way is their heart going to go? So he says, I'm going to provide bread out of the sky, not to feed them, but to prove them. Feeding them's easy. He can feed with whatever he wants to feed with. God's issue is not how he's going to provide. His issue is man's heart. Just like your issue is your heart. My issue is my heart. So he feeds them manna, not to feed them, but to prove them. You know what he's doing? He's just trying the hearts. He's just trying the hearts. He puts something in front of you, and he says, "All right, I want you to gather a certain rate. 6 days, you gather enough, and on the sixth day, you gather twice as much because I don't want you gathering anything on the Sabbath. So for 5 days, you gather enough. 6 days, you gather twice as much. Sabbath, just stay inside." And the whole point of that is just to see what you're going to do. I'm just trying to try your hearts. Because once you make a decision on whatever you're going to do, now I'm going to make a decision on my judgment. Now I have a basis to work with, and there is either going to be blessing because you have obeyed what I said, or there's just going to be a curse because you've disobeyed and ignored everything I said. Interesting, he says, "I have done this to prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." We've gone over it. We don't have to go over it again. But I really have been fascinated with that whole Genesis account in Abraham, where he tells Abraham to go sacrifice Isaac. He goes and sacrifices, or gets ready to sacrifice Isaac. And right before he kills Isaac, the Lord stops him and says, "Now I know. Now I know." You know what he's doing? He's just trying the heart. "I want to see what you're going to do." And he says, "Now I know that thou fearest the Lord." You say, "Well, didn't he know before?" There's nothing to know before. There was no obedience before. God hadn't given a rule yet. But when God's word goes out and says, "Do this," then the Lord can sit back and see whether you do it or not. And if you do it, great, blessing. If you don't do it, there's curse. He just tries the heart. See what pleases him. He's looking for something to please him. And you and I, there's faith is the first thing that pleases him. Obedience, you guys said obedience, singing, all those things. You could do all those things in the Bible. But the point is, Haggai over here in Esther, looking for somebody that will please the Lord, and he finds in Esther somebody that will please the king. And once he finds that one that will please the king, he starts doing some things with that one. We'll go back to Esther and let's see what else he does. Remember, this is a great typology of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does to prepare a bride for the king here. All right, Esther chapter 2 and verse 9. "And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him." That's the second thing that happens. All right, now Haggai's found somebody that's going to make the king happy. So he starts to bestow particular kindness on this one individual. What does that teach you and I? That teaches you and I that when God finds someone faithful, he starts to make an investment in that person. You say, "Well, God just loves everybody," or "God just hates everybody," whatever your particular perspective is, you know. No, God particularly looks for individuals. And he's looking for somebody to please him. And when he finds something he likes, he starts to make an investment in that. That's what Haggai does. Haggai finds Esther and he says, "She's going to be the one. She's going to be the one." And so now she starts to obtain particular kindness from Haggai. What does that mean? That's an investment that the Lord would make in somebody particularly who is pleasing him. You think about this. Think about this. Our prayer life, our Bible reading, you know, some of the things we ask for. I think about this in my prayer life. What is God looking for in a prayer life? What does God care about? What doesn't he care about? What is he interested in? And I got to thinking about it practically, I guess. What is God interested in? Well, God's interested in what he's doing. You say, "Well, that's kind of obvious." So then you ask, "Well, what's God doing? What is it that he's doing so that my prayer life can match up with something he's doing so that I can get some answers for what he's doing?" Because then he may pay attention a little bit more, because if I'm faithful, or, you know, trying to line up with what he's doing and trying to get involved in what he's doing. I mean, look, you know what you're interested in? You're interested in what you're doing. You know what you're interested in? You're interested in your job. your work. That's like the Lord. He's interested in His work. Isn't He in the New Testament, doesn't He liken Himself to somebody who hires people out? He says, and He hired some people out, and He hired them out through the day, and there's several illustrations and parables about Him hiring people out. You know why? Because He's interested in His work. You know, when somebody who's hired comes to the boss and says, hey, I need some tools for the job. And the boss says, yeah, you do need tools for the job. You know what happens? The boss gives them tools for the job. You know what? That's a prayer life. Boss, I need tools for the job. I need help here. I know you want us to be faithful and be involved in your work, and I'm trying to be involved in your work and, you know, as best I can. I'm just missing some tools here. And the boss says, okay, it looks like you are missing some tools. Here's some tools for the job. That's kind of what we would do, you know. It's a practical thing. So she obtains kindness. She starts to, God begins to make, as a type here, as a picture, God begins to make an investment in something He likes. And of course He's going to make an investment in something He likes. Why would you make an investment in something you don't like? So He's going to make an investment in what He likes. So Haggai finds Esther. She pleases him. And the Bible says, and she obtained kindness of him. And then what does he do next? After he starts to make an investment in her, the Bible says this, and he speedily, verse 9, and he speedily gave her her things for purification. So now he starts to give the bride things that are going to clean her up. You're going to be in the royal service. You got to be cleaned up. You know what you got? A holy Bible. You got a Holy Spirit. When the Lord finds the sinner, he says, you know what, I'm going to save you and I'm going to clean you up. So he gives her things for purification. He starts to clean her up. Holy Bible, Holy Spirit. Here's a few verses that all that really reminds me of. I'll just read them to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. 2 Timothy, the Bible says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The first part of that says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Trying to clean up some people. Just like Haggai says, all right, here's somebody that pleases me. Here's somebody I can make an investment in. Now I'm going to pull her aside and I'm going to start giving her the things for her purification so she can get prepared for royal service. Purification. Levitical priesthood, you had holy things. You know, that was one thing that was the dividing point. He said, dietary laws, all those things. He's talking to the Israelites about being holy to make a separation between them and the regular people. I need to make a separation. That's what Haggai's doing. He's making a separation with Esther. He's going to get her cleaned up. He's going to invest in her because she's going to be the one for the royal service. He apparently knows what he's doing here because she ends up getting picked. another thing here, just as we won't go through too much of it, but he says not only he speedily gave her her things for purification with such things as belonged to her. So apparently, if she's made it this far in the lineup here, there are some things that she's going to have. And so he starts giving her the things that belong to her. You know what belongs to you as a child of God? You've got justification. You got sanctification. You've got redemption. I mean, we can go through the list of all the things that are located in Jesus Christ that you and I get that are just, that are in Jesus Christ, that you get by just being in Jesus Christ. By virtue of being in Christ, you are the beneficiary of all these things. And so she gets all these things with the things that belong to her. And then this, an interesting one, and seven maidens, which were meat to be given her. So you've got Haggai, who has picked out Esther. She has pleased him. Now she's obtained kindness. Now she's being put through a process of purification. Now she's been given things that will be a part of her royal service. And then along with all that, she's given seven companions to go with her through all this. You say, what are the seven companions? I don't know. You could probably make a whole bunch of typologies out of it. I'll just show you one that may be. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. Look at Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. Seven companions that are going to go with her in this royal service. Who are the seven companions? I'll give you this verse as a possible typology, as an application here. These are the seven spirits of the Lord. You read about them in Revelation. You read about them here. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. There's seven spirits there. Now, if you wanted to make an application, you could probably make an application to that and say, all right, Esther gets seven companions with her in this royal service. Those are seven companions that are with a child of God in royal service. They were in Jesus Christ, and when the Holy Spirit, when you get saved and the Holy Spirit's in you, these things are in you. And lastly is this. Esther chapter 2, let's read the very end of verse 9 here. The Bible says in verse 9, the maiden pleased him, she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house, and he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. So then he provides a special place for her now. You know what? That is sanctification. That is, you say, what is sanctification? Sanctification, according to Psalms, is being set apart. You are removed from everyone else and you are put in a special place where God is going to particularly use you in a special way that He's not going to just use everybody. Sanctification is being set apart, and here is Haggai as a type of the Holy Spirit of God, sanctifying Esther and setting her apart and putting her in a special place where she's going to specifically reside. And the Bible says it's the best place. He preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. So Haggai is a great picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And in verse 9, you have a list of things that Haggai does in preparation and in preparing Esther for royal service. She's not picked yet, but he's preparing her for all this. And there are several things that he does, just like there are several things the Holy Spirit of God does to a sinner to prepare them for royal service. He finds something he likes, first of all. She pleased him. And then once he finds what he likes, he invests in that thing. And he starts putting a particular focus on it. And after he does that, he gives them things for purification. Holy Bible, Holy Spirit, you know all those things and you understand the idea. Purification. Because God's people are holy people. And that's what he wants them to be. And then after that, he gives her things that belong to her for this royal service. And then he gives her companions, seven companions, to be with her along the way. And then after he does that, he gives her a special place where he sanctifies and sets her apart so that he can use her in the way he wants to use her. It is a great picture, a really good picture, of the Holy Spirit of God preparing a bride for a king. And I hope that is helpful to you. I think you could you probably preach on all those things, but it is a great type, and you'll find in Esther there are great types in the book of Esther. Lots and lots of typology in the book of Esther. And so I hope that is helpful as far as applying those things and just learning something about the book of Esther. So, Father, thank you so much for your words. I pray this has been helpful to see these things, learn something about what the Holy Spirit's doing. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply the things that we need to apply here. After we see what you're doing, maybe we could apply ourselves to what you're doing and more than we are. And Father, thank you again for everybody here. I pray that you'd bless each soul for being here, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.